Touch Interviews, a presentation of Body Mind Spirit Radio. Thank you for joining us for conversations designed to keep you in touch. And now, the host of In Touch Interviews, Annette Aven.
Thank you, Mike, and hello, everybody. It is 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the 16th day of February, 2013. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. I love when we can bring you tremendously interesting programming. Sometimes it's off-the-chart programming, and sometimes it's right in line with where you are in your life. But it comes to us in a manner of ways, any number of ways, actually. One of them is information that you find in the Body, Mind, Spirit Guide. We take that and we maximize it, put it under a microscope to look at it, and then expand it so that everybody can see it. Sometimes people contact me directly, Annette Rochelle Aben, and you can do that through the Body, Mind, Spirit Radio website. And they leave me questions. They leave me topics, names of people, and say, can you do a show on this? Would you be interested in looking into this for me and bringing this to light? And sometimes it's not just the people who are suggesting the topic. Oftentimes it's the actual person, company, or creator of some sort of event or product. Fine. If you're in the metaphysical or healing arts nature, we would like to talk to you. We would like to bring your energy to the hundreds and thousands, if not millions of people who tune into internet radio every single day. We can be 24/7, which gives us a great edge of a broadcast, and it's a lot of fun. So contact us at bodymindspiritradio.com. Go to where it says messages, leave a message, say, hey, Annette, I'd like to see you interview me or interview this person or talk about this topic, and we will see what we can do about bringing the show to you. So not only talking about shows we can bring to you when you mention them, we also have another show coming up today, which, again, is the 16th day of February, 2013, and I keep mentioning the date because if you're listening in archive, I want you to understand that if it isn't this day, go to my archives and you can find it. We're going to be in touch with Crystal Moon Astrology and Crystal Moon Paranormal. Heidi Wolf is a certified astrologer as well as a paranormal investigator, and she's coming on live with me 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern live on the 16th day of February today, 2013. Right now, who do I have live? Oh, my goodness. This information to me is so, so important, and it's not really new information. That's the interesting thing. The knowledge of breast thermography has been around for quite some time, but it's not been well known or it's not been well received, and I really do believe that after you hear the discussion today, you're going to find out why there are so many reasons that women are choosing breast thermography. It's the safest, most accurate choice for early detection over traditional mammograms. And because this is something that we all need to know more about, today on In Touch Interviews, we have Frances Sterling, who is a retired chiropractor, and Linda Alchin, who is a retired RM. They are technicians for Adelpha Thermography, and they are going to educate us on the importance of and the process of breast thermography. So without any further ado, I'm going to welcome Fran and Linda to the show. Ladies, welcome, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. We appreciate it, Annette. We appreciate the programming you're bringing out to so many of us.
Oh, my gosh. It's our honor and pleasure. We as people, we either are women or we know somebody who's a woman, so that sort of makes this knowledge that everybody needs to have, which I'm thrilled to pieces to be able to provide. But we have the knowledge that who we are, but we have no clue other than my brief little introduction who you are. So, ladies, I'm going to ask you to introduce yourself, get right into it, and tell us why you decided to create this mobile thermography practice so that you can bring this diagnostic breast health to all of us.
This is Linda, and basically, I'm an RN. I worked in intensive care for 30 years. And the reason I went into alternative medicine, because I started to see how intensive care really was focused on the death mode rather than the life mode. And I was more interested in the life mode. So I started looking at alternative therapies. I went to massage school. I went to subtle energy school for a year. I got involved in allergy elimination techniques, which I am currently also doing. And then I got involved in this thermography business in conjunction with Thermoscan and Fran. And we got involved in this because we were approached by Thermos Gang, who is a premier reader, interpreter of filmography. We'd be interested in looking at a mobile unit. And we immediately got interested in that because we both have been doing filmography ourselves for the last 12 years. And so here we are.
And I'm Fran, and the reason why I am involved with Adelpha Filmography, and by the way, Adelpha stands for Beloved Sister. I give my husband credit for coming up with that. The reason is because I suffered from a healing crisis decades ago, and after 6 months going to the doctors, I begged them to put me in the hospital and find out what was wrong, because I was just felt like I had the flu with fever and aches every single day, could barely get out of bed. And they said, oh, no, we can't put you in the hospital, because if you, with a suppressed immune system, if we put you there, you'll really get sick. So that began my journey, and I went to a chiropractor, had a miraculous healing within 2 weeks, never felt better in my life, and that really had me start to look at alternative ways. So when Dr. Phil Hoekstra's office approached us, we just instantly knew that this was a service that all women could avail themselves of. That's how it happened.
And I love, thank you, I love the idea that both of you have, you know, traditional. I mean, people can say chiropractic isn't traditional. Actually, I think it is, but and very, very mainstream. But you both have very traditional, whole, you know, healthcare backgrounds. And yet what you've done is you've sort of said, okay, traditional medicine has a place, but so does alternative medicine or holistic medicine or the medicine that we think is alternative. And I really do believe that if we look at medicine as it takes a village, so to speak, we need to incorporate all the techniques and all of the options out there. Because, and I don't mean to slam any one particular type of healthcare, but if one particular type of healthcare was the do-all, end-all, be-all, nobody would die from cancer.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I used to always tell my patients that... in the off chance that I should slip and fall and get hit by a Mack truck off the curb, rather than taking me to the chiropractor, take me to the emergency room first. Trauma and acute care, medicine does great with that. And I really am just so excited when I also look to see what's happening nowadays with moving more into accounting for our day-to-day unique lifestyles and what happens with environmental toxins and genetic factors and all the things that medicine is moving towards, and alternative care has been on for quite some time.
Absolutely. And I think that the idea of environmental toxins plays a huge role in things, and that is definitely another topic for another show, but it's been shown in cases of healing, that when people have cleaned these things up, even diagnoses such as breast cancer have cleared up, that this has been part and parcel of the actual healing journey. So if that's going to help, let's focus on this idea of early detection, because you hear it all the time. If that was detected earlier, if we'd gotten this earlier, so what's the deal with breast thermography and the idea of early detection, and if you want to do a little back and forth with mammograms, because that seems to be, other than self-exam, which I know I perform, and I know a lot of people who do, simply because if I find something, I want to knock on somebody's door, pick up a phone, hit a website. So mammogram, thermography, early detection, what's the role everything plays in it, or do both of these techniques play an actual role in early detection?
You know, everything plays a role.
Yeah, absolutely, Annette. We're going to be getting into all of that, and specifically also looking at the different sizes of tissue changes are detectable with mammography versus self-breast exam and mammography. So we're going to be covering all that.
Yeah, but first, it is an important point that you're making about early detection, and we would like to emphasize that first. because the simple answer, of course, is that early detection saves lives. However, if we look historically, the American Cancer Society is telling us that in 2013, over 230,000 new cases of invasive breast cancer will happen in women, and almost 65,000 new cases of what's called carcinoma in situ, which is the non-invasive and earliest form of breast cancer. But the alarming statistic is that there'll be close to 40,000 deaths in women alone from breast cancer. And I say women alone because men are also susceptible, usually, though they are follow up once they've developed some kind of symptom. So breast cancer is the second leading cause of death due to cancer in women, with lung cancer being the first. And why do we see such alarming numbers? In our opinion, if we look deeper, we look at the history of it, way back in 1971, they had put through a program of pre-screening, or what was called screening, for breast cancer, and it took only 2 or 3 years before insurance companies were actually paying for mammography for women. And that was a bold and triumphant move at the time, because breast cancer had risen by some statistics to 1 in every 14 women. Some actually said 1 in every 20. So we went on and we were educated, and the self-breast exam, like you explained, clinical breast exams in physician's office, more heightened education with Breast Cancer Awareness Month, in, which was 1985, I believe that was, Linda.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, with all of that, what we've recently, in the 90s, learned statistically that is that 96% chance of being alive after 5 years after an early diagnosis was possible. That's close to 100%. But less than 40% if there was a later stage diagnosis. So how come, if that's true, we have today 1 in 8 women developing breast cancer? That's an alarming change in statistic considering all this so-called pre-screening. And that's why, for various political or financial reasons, also as you mentioned before, a subject for another show, there's been this discrepancy as far as we're concerned. So we at Adelpha, we're more in alignment with what actually Body, Mind, Spirit Radio is, and that's healthy body, enlightened mind, renewed spirit, that we need to start focusing on breast health awareness, because breast cancer awareness, or breast cancer rather, is just rising. So early detection saves lives, and now, with mammography, we're able to even have earlier detection, 5 to 8 years earlier.
You know, I want to point out something to jump on what you just talked about, Fran, because I loved the way you said that. Let's focus on breast health, because all the time we've been focusing on breast cancer awareness, we've been giving cancer the power. I'm a firm believer in what we focus on, we bring to us. So now that we've got this, you know, rampant energy all over the place, well, let's focus on health, which I believe with enough focus on health, we can actually make that rampant energy occur quicker than it's taken 40-some years for this to occur. I really believe that that's part of the gift we've got here in this new age, so to speak, is that we can actually make the energy of health much more prevalent than the energy of unhealth or disease simply by turning our attention to it. It doesn't mean we're ignoring it, because with early detection, we're going to work on things. We're going to get people more health-oriented and actually flip those numbers, you know, tip the tables in our favor. And I do believe that can happen.
Well, in the past, Annette, we focused on breast cancer because the only methods we had was self-breast exam and mammography, and those would only show a disease process such as cancer. And mammography actually allows you to see things change, which we'll talk more about before we actually get to that process of the cancer actually being evolved. So it allows us that opportunity to look at breast health And that allows us the opportunity to look at all kinds of different things we can do to bring the tissue back to a healthy state if there is a problem before it becomes a cancerous lump bump situation.
Especially given that with a technique such as thermography, there's no pain, no ionizing radiation, there's no compression. It's particularly important when you're talking about implants. There's no contrast medians, no metallic substances that we need for imaging. And therefore, women at anywhere from beginning age 20 to 25 can get a true baseline of their breast health, monitor it, which is a reflection also of gathering information about the status of our immune system and being able to keep that positive focus like you're talking about.
That is exciting. That is hugely, hugely exciting. And I'm going to direct everybody right now to the AdelphaTherm website, which is www.adelphatherm.com. I've posted it in the chat room, and I know people are going to be hearing this throughout the program. So, ladies, please continue. This is more than fascinating. If you saw the big grin on my face right now, you'd be like, oh, my goodness, she's either had too much coffee or this is making sense. I think it's this is making sense.
Yeah. We've been to our faces, too.
We have, you know, when I first had my first thermogram, I had spent quite some time researching, and I moved from Michigan, where Dr. Phil Hoekstra, who's a medical physiologist specializing in early breast cancer detection for 40 years now, and I moved to California. And I scurried all over the place. I used to drive 2 hours each way to have my thermogram because I knew I wanted the premier interpreter in the world seeing my scans. And that's the beauty of this, that we have this kind of technology now and that thermography can detect abnormalities 5 to 8 years earlier. And how it does that is basically in two ways. You know, when we first get ill, the first thing our mothers used to do is pop a thermometer in our mouth. And so that was to indicate whether we had a normal body temperature of 98.6. And the same thing happens. What we're doing is, with a highly sensitive camera, we're looking to see what are the natural heat emissions coming off the body. And the second, we're looking to identify any minute variations in these readings, which are what's called early functional changes that can be occurring. And these functional changes occur before any structural change like a lump or a bump. So what's happening is we're taking an imaging or heat imaging science, and we're applying it just like the military does in surveillance cameras. Airport personnel actually used it in 2009 to detect suspected swine flu cases. Building construction people use it for heat loss with insulation. Firefighters actually use it to see smoke and find people. So the list goes on and on. Now, for the last 50 years, this has been an accepted and highly regarded form of heat detection. And therefore, what we're looking at for early detection is, where are these functional changes? Because function always precedes structural changes. And that's what our traditional tests are doing. They're looking for structural changes. So, Linda, you want to go into what the difference of that is, function versus structure? Because that's really the crux of this, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd be happy to do that. So let's just talk a little bit about what functional changes are, what it means. And basically, functional changes are things that happen in the tissues at a small cellular level. So right down to the various cells of our body, we're looking at changes at that level. So we're going to use arthritis, osteoarthritis as an example. Now, we've all seen people who have arthritis in their fingers a lot of times, and they have these little knobs or bumps on their fingers, right? Have you seen that, Annette?
Yes, actually I have.
Okay, so when we have these knobs or bumps on the joints, we've already got a structural change. It's actually affecting the actual bone, and we can visibly see it. But long before that happens, some changes start to take place in the tissues around that joint. So at a cellular level, the cartilage of that joint starts to wear away. And we may only notice that because we have some stiffness in our joints, but we really can't see anything yet. They're not really visible. And this could start many, many years before you visibly get that knob or bump on your joint. And that the knob or bump is the structural change. The minute changes that begin that are the functional changes. The same thing happens in the breast tissue.
It's just like a cascade of events, like a dominoes going over before you get to that structural change.
So first you have when you're talking about the breast tissue, first we have a functional change in the breast tissue. So it's not visible, we can't feel it, we can't see it, we can't pick it up by self-breast exam, even by physician breast exam, but it can be picked up by mammography. Once we have a lump or bump in the breast, then we have a structural change, and that happens 5 to 8 years after these functional changes began. And that's when mammography can pick up the difference. It's when you have a structural change. Mammography picks up when we have a functional change. In other words, these little tiny changes are going on in the breast tissue before you can even see it. So function is a normal process that can become interfered with. And then that leads to an abnormal function, which eventually becomes a structural change. And that's one of the reasons why at Delpha we focus on the breast health and the choice to be aware of how our breasts are functioning.
I like that idea. In my head, I'm following along with you, and I'm going, okay.
Huh?
So because I actually have one of those little knobs on my middle finger of my right hand, and I noticed it, I don't know, a couple, 3 years ago. Now, it doesn't hurt. I have no stiffness there. But I is this little out-of-whack-looking nub there, and I thought, well, what the heck are you? So I just leave it alone. I don't pet it and feed it. I don't name it. I just leave it be.
Uh-huh.
And it leaves me be, but it definitely has taken what was a beautifully shaped finger and turned it into a bit of an oddity. So what you're telling me is that if I had had thermography done on my hands, but why would I, years and years ago, we might have seen the actual setup to the metamorphosis of that knob, and maybe there was something I could have done to prevent that happening.
Well, not only that, part of a health awareness, and in our case, breast health awareness, but all our health awareness, once you develop something structural, remember the functional changes are still occurring on some level. We're always empowered when we look at this shift of healing, into healing, rather. We're always empowered to be able to increase our ability to heal, and reverse any structures. And you're bringing a very important point to your listeners. Oftentimes, once something has happened, people actually give up. And healing is a process. It's a lifetime process. It's a process to continue living and thriving. There's always something we can do, and making small changes every day, bringing attention to everything we do, everything we say, little by little it builds. And that's what really brings about healing on every level.
That's powerful. That is really, really powerful. And I love the fact that this is a program with such hope in its message. You know, breast thermography has been around a while, and you've illustrated that through communication today, Fran, and I appreciate that. And the fact that people are just now waking up to the awareness of alternative medicine or alternative options in healthcare. And I loved back at the beginning when you were explaining, more towards the beginning, when you were explaining the difference between thermography and mammograms, maybe not directly, but you said there's no need for this, there's no need for this, there's no need for that. One of the greatest things that has always impressed me by people that have been through mammography, and I have not, at almost 60 years of age, I have never had a mammogram and don't intend to. for my own personal beliefs. So that's just me. That's Annette speaking, not everybody else. So just understand that, my own opinions. However, the ones that I do know that have had them have just told me 20 ways to Sunday that unless they had something else to choose from, they would continue to have them because they felt it was the only option. But if they were given choices, they would not choose to have that for the inconvenience, the pain, the stress, the invasiveness, the whole nine yards, all the things that you said thermography wasn't. These are the reasons people would say, I wouldn't go back to mammograms again. So it's nice to know that we can go to adelphatherm.com and find out some great information. I also like the fact that you guys are mobile, which is amazing. And if they want to know more about what happens with the process once the scan is done, they can actually go to thermascan.com and they can get some more information. And we do have a number to contact Fran and Linda if you'd like to book an appointment, and that is 248-242-4354. We've got that number coming again. And also a really cool thing called Bosom Buddies that we're going to talk about at the end. So you guys got to stick around for that because I like that. That idea is really, really hip. So we're going to back that train back up to what we were talking about. 5 to 8 years in advance of an abnormality becoming an issue, they can detect this because of looking at the thermodynamics of our human body with this scan. What a cool thing. And I was really thrilled to hear you talk about how they use this in firefighting and they use this in other energies that have nothing to do with what we're talking about, but you're right, in war, in the army. Absolutely. We've seen it in movies. You know, we've seen these really weird-looking pictures and thought, what is that? Well, that's a thermoscan. We're scanning to see if there's any this and this going on because we can pick up the detection of the change of heat in that area. And it's like science fiction, but it's not. It's actually science, and it ain't fiction.
Yeah. I would like to go back, Annette, to something you said, though. And every woman should be empowered to make the choices they want. But we want to also really express how important it is to come up with your own personal breast health program with your physician of choice. And the reason for that is thermography certainly, with what's called its high level of specificity and sensitivity, higher than mammography, can find a functional change early. However, it is important, the only way to know for sure that you have a diagnosis of breast cancer is with a biopsy. And the only way to follow through with that may be to have a mammography. We know now that 4D MRIs are more accurate. That does require a metallic contrast medium. We do know that mammography requires x-rays, and when we look at the amount of radiation that accumulates in those sensitive tissues from all of the various medical tests throughout our life, we want to be cautious about it. However, when we have those risk factors, and that's what thermography does, is it determines a risk assessment. When we have that, follow-up is important. We do want to be sure that we're being not just conservative, but we're being sensible about taking care of ourselves, because so many of us have that I don't want to know, I'm too afraid to know, because of what's happened for the last 40 or 50 years and all the attention on breast cancer. So, yeah, let's shift to breast health awareness, but also let's be responsible about taking care of ourselves and making sure that we do this in conjunction with whatever medical professional or advice is right for us.
Absolutely, and that's one of the reasons why I stated, you know, so vehemently, this is my opinion, and opinions can change. You know, when
yes.
you are faced with the choice of do or die, what you going to do? You know, you're going to look into every option that's available, and I understand that. And if for all of the same reasons you just mentioned, all of the invasive energies that do hang around, and while there are ways of expunging those and eradicating those, if people don't know that there are alternative choices, they're liable to feel, you know, gun to the head, I've got to go do this, as opposed to I'm choosing to go do this because I know it's complementary and it's going to help me down the road. Even adopting that attitude or having that thought process really, I think, does minimize the intensity of the invasive energies that come around, the radiation and the metals and things that, you know, we're finding now are can wreak havoc on the human body for long periods of time. So it is very understandable. But definitely complementary medicine. That's why I, you know, stated at the beginning, this goes hand in hand. You can't just totally negate, you know, allopathic medicine in favor of holistic, and you can't just completely push away holistic and put your faith in prescriptions and shots, because if that were the case, there would be no disease on this planet. We'd all be healthy if only one thing ever worked, or we just used one thing for a long period of time. And that is not the case. And the unfortunate numbers of breast cancer and the deaths from breast cancer, lung cancer, any cancers, but we're talking today about breast health, are staggering. And I can remember there used to be a time when you would say, you know, gee, do you go in for your medical exam? Anyone in your family, is there a history of? And you'd look at a lot of the questions they ask, you'd check a big fat no. And now, especially where the variety of cancers are concerned, a lot of people are finding those check marks are becoming more frequent on their own health profile. Yes, somebody in my family. Yes, somebody in my family. And that's sad. That's sad when there is knowledge out there that can actually help people find out what's going on ahead of time. So it's an interesting thing that we're talking about, the paradigm shift from focusing on cancer to health awareness, where this is all concerned. I like that.
And what we're talking about here is balance, because absolutely what you're talking about, too, has so much to do not just with what we're noticing with family history, but cause and effect over the course of our lifetime, because when we first come into this beautiful world, somebody is taking care of us. And it takes us quite some time to learn about the responsibility of taking care of ourselves and being able to reverse all these things. And in fairness, absolutely what you're saying is true. And we even have statistics from people like the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force in 2009. They recommended against routine screening with mammography for women 40 to 49. That's because there's many times when there are what's called false positives or false negatives, which means they can't find it, or they do find it and it's not there, because of dense tissues, fibrocystic tissues, small breasts, large breasts. It's also not safe for pregnant women or lactating women. But they also recommend that it be only every other year for women 50 to 74, 75. And when you think that most women in their 50s and 60s today had their mammograms every single year and still may not know of these recommendations, that's alarming too. That takes our empowered choice away from us. And that's why we know that thermography is the best and first choice for everyone.
Oh, my gosh. Amazing, amazing, amazing. So when we're talking about, you said this, does thermography actually look for breast cancer itself? Because you kept talking about structural changes that could lead to it.
Well, let's first talk about what those changes are and those functional changes. And, Linda, you want to describe actually how tumors can form and why we can pick it up before that?
Sure. So when we're looking at thermography, we're looking for the functional changes that we talked about, which is usually a little bit of inflammation or something going on at a cellular level that's very small to see. When mammography, again, looks for the structural changes where you actually have a lump or a bump. So when we're looking at the breast tissue, what we know is that precancerous and cancerous cells develop their own blood supply. And the blood supply that goes to these cells is very specific. It lacks a component in the lining that normally causes a blood vessel to constrict or to clamp down when it's exposed to cold. So let's talk about that concept of vasoconstriction. So, you know, when you go outside in the cold and you've been out for a while and your toes get cold and your fingers get cold and they start to turn a little bit blue, well, the reason that happens is because this process of vasoconstriction occurs, or clamping down of the blood vessels in your fingers and toes. And there's a purpose for that. It diverts the blood, the main blood supply, back to your organs, your heart, your brain, your intestines, to keep those safe and functioning. Because without those functioning,
bye-bye, baby.
And, you know, you can live without your fingers and your toes for a little while being cold and blue, but if your organs turn cold and blue, you're going to turn to ice on the inside. And that's not a good thing. So this vasoconstriction keeps the body safe, basically. And then when you get in the house and you get warm again, your blood vessels dilate or open up again, and everything gets warm again. Well, the blood vessels that supply these precancers and cancer cells lack this ability to close down and open back up again, or close down when they're exposed to this cold. So when we do a thermogram, we're taking pictures of the breast at normal room temperatures to begin with. Then we expose the body to cold by putting the hands in cold water for a minute. Now, the normal blood supply to the breast tissue will clamp down. These blood vessels will clamp down when you have exposure to the cold, and that will cause changes in the colors when we take the second set of pictures. If there's precancerous or cancer cells in the tissue, the blood vessels supplying those cells will remain open because they lack this ability to clamp down, and that will cause hot spots to show up on the second set of pictures that we take.
And these blood vessels develop very early because the abnormality that's beginning to form requires its own blood supply.
Now, here's some really interesting numbers in that. Active cancer cells double in number every 90 days. So we start with one active cancer cell. In 90 days, that becomes two cells. In about 2 years, those two cells develop into 256 cells. After about 4 years, it becomes over 65,000 cells. In 6 years, we're up to 16 million cells, and in 8 years, there's over 4 billion cancer cells. So that one little cancer cell we started with has doubled 32 times and now is 4 billion cells. With mammography, back at 2 years, when that one cell became 256 cells, so minute that you can't see it, feel it, that is when mammography will pick up this cell turnover or the cell division. Mammography will pick it up at 8 years when we have over 4 billion cells. That one cell has turned into 4 billion cells. That is when mammography picks up cancer because now it is a structural change. It is a tumor. Back at 2 years, at 256 cells, it's still functional. It's inflammation in the tissue. It's causing some disruption, but is visible by mammography. That to me is just amazing.
Just going to say my mouth is hanging open. I'm listening to the numbers and I'm running them through my head going, really, that's amazing. That's more than just amazing. It's eye-opening.
And size-wise, mammography will pick up tissue changes at 2 millimeters, less than 2 millimeters, and mammography picks it up at 5 to 7 millimeters. Whereas when you're doing your self breast exams, the tumor has to be over 40 millimeters big, which is like 20 times the size that mammography picks it up for you to even be able to feel it.
Wow.
And by then, it's already become a structural change. And now your choices are less than if you knew it way back when it was 256 cells.
Sure.
For us, the definition of earlier detection, and mammography is the pre-screening for mammography.
What I like about it was the idea that it's so practical. I mean, if you've got a situation. Crabgrass in your yard, are you going to wait until your entire yard is covered with crabgrass and say, oh, holy crow, what am I going to do with all this crabgrass?
Exactly.
Or are you going to notice, you know, the little abnormalities in the grass and say to yourself, well, let's see what that's all about. And maybe you can eradicate a tremendous amount of stress and And the funny thing is, because there are choices, and I like to believe there's always a choice, even if you do find a structural abnormality at whatever point in time.
Mm-hmm.
But the thought that we give that diagnosis the minute most people or some people hear it is actually giving it permission and sort of stopping us from seeing all that, because it's the gut-sucking energy.
Right.
Sucks the air right out of your gut when you hear that word.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
it's even more when you hear it applied to yourself.
Absolutely. That goes back to the I don't want to know syndrome.
Right.
Because we see when, particularly years ago, when individuals for any disease, but certainly women with breast cancer, they would be told, oh, 3 years from now, this is going to spread and there's nothing we can do. And in other disease processes, people are told, you have 30 days, go take care of business. And what happens is 30 days from then, that person expires. So
yeah.
It's exactly what you're saying. It ties so much into the belief system instead of the knowing that we are empowered to heal ourselves. And because of the so much fear that's built up around the subject of breast cancer and the lack of education, women generally do feel disempowered to change the course of even an early abnormality, no matter how early it's caught. So programming such as this really supports women in knowing that it's safe to have the procedure and it's safe to explore this and empower themselves to heal. And so we've been talking about healing ourselves a long time, but this truly is the beginning of this paradigm shift.
Yeah, and it is. It very much is. And how wonderful that we've got people that are willing to talk about it and people that are willing to step forward. So often when we're looking at what society would label as holistic or alternative, and people kind of shy away from it and say, well, you know, I don't really want to say that because. Well, you know, human life experiences so much just on a day-to-day basis that maybe other people aren't aware of or nobody wants to talk about, but it's in the not talking about it that makes it weird or strange. The more we know about it and the less we see that it's not threatening. The more we talk about it, the less threatening it becomes. The less threatening it becomes, then we can see that there's an option. And I really do believe that bringing this topic up and the chat room is loaded and people are listening on the phones, so that they are all ears. Where are we going at this point in the conversation? Where do you want to take us now? Because you did explain to me about the process of it, and we talked a lot about what it can find and can't. But if a woman has a mammogram, does she then need a thermogram?
That's an excellent question. You know, based on some of the information we've given, I'm sure all the listeners already realize that when you can find something 5 to 8 years earlier, and you're empowered by gathering that information. So when we gather that information earlier, it allows us to tap into what we really do know at the core of our being, and that is that we are empowered already to heal ourselves. So what a thermogram will also do is support us in isolating and locating areas in the body. So if there is a necessity to have a biopsy, it helps locate with more specificity and sensitivity where those areas for the biopsy is. So we have finding it 5 to 8 years earlier, being able to isolate locations better, having a safe procedure with no radiation, even pregnant and lactating women are completely safe to have this. It's because it is completely non-invasive picture of heat. There's no touching involved, no squeezing. So absolutely a thermogram would be vital.
And going back to your question about if a person has a mammogram, do they need a thermogram? If their mammogram is normal, that still doesn't tell them about these functional changes that may still be going on even though their mammogram is normal. If the mammogram shows structural changes at that point, then unless they're using thermography for diagnostic purposes, that really precludes getting a thermogram when they already have something going on.
And we also can use thermograms pre and post surgery for follow-up and documenting and looking for any changes post-surgical, because once you've developed something, that's abnormal, and you know you're going to be going for more traditional, conventional testing with radiation and various other side effects to have a safe modality in your arsenal of tools for supporting your body is really vital.
That would make a lot of sense. That would make a lot of sense. And again, if you are in that situation where you have either received a diagnosis, you're looking for some complementary support, we do encourage you to visit www.adelphatherm.com or give them a call, 248-242-4354, and find out from these exceedingly learned and compassionate technicians how they can help you and how they can help support you in your not only care but your cure and your healing. I mean, why not? Again, it's something that can only enhance where you're taking your health, your breast health journey, as opposed to detract from it. And it's non-invasive, and I really think, in addition to all of that, who couldn't sit down with the two of you and not feel the compassion and the love and the support, especially at a time when maybe people around them are wrapped up in fear and they don't have anybody to lean on like that. I mean, that's a heck of a journey to go through.
Absolutely.
Well, as you say, Annette, as they say, it takes one to know one, Annette.
Yeah. Oh, bless your heart. Bless your heart. So you talked a little bit about what we're going to experience, but what is the actual thermal procedure like, and what should we expect when we have one?
Well, the first thing most women notice is there's a camera in the room. And it looks like a photographer's camera on a large tripod, but it's actually very different than optical cameras because it involves the use of high thermal sensitivity and what's called spatial resolution. And basically, we take two sets of identically positioned pictures before and after that cool hands in the water that Linda spoke about, to see if there is a contraction, whether there's a muscular wall in the vessels. And so we're comparing right with that first set a before and after. We actually have a baseline to our baseline. The premier lab in the country reads the pictures, sends you a report, and your primary physician of choice. And it's that simple. You do have some instructions prior to create the most accurate test possible. There's an adaptation period when you arrive in the room after going over a case history form where in privacy you undress from the waist up. You keep your arms away from your body so the heat of your arms are not affecting the heat of the breast tissue. And after about 10 minutes, we take the pictures and it's done. Very simple, very efficient, very quick. And again, no pain, no radiation, no compression. And the earliest detection possible.
Wow, I love it. I absolutely love it. It sounds so simple. It's amazing. And I know it's not so simple that it's not true, but when people hear how simple it is, they've got to shake their heads for a moment and say, really? Really? That's cool. So,
yes, and, you know, it is very simple to have the test performed. The analytical system for the diagnostic breast thermology and the expertise required for that is what you're really addressing right now. You know, just like we have X-ray technicians and doctors, they have to send their information to a radiologist for their expertise, for their conclusions and their reports.
And you are sending yours, like you said, to the premier diagnostician, the premier person who does this. What a comfort that's got to be.
Yeah, and they're definitely the people to go to for infrared medical thermology. And the difference between, and many times I'm asked, why isn't my doctor already offering it? Why isn't this in hospitals? Well, some of the large teaching universities do have this, but the radiologists are trained to look for that structural function. And they now don't have a system or a place for thermography. and they're looking to see how to incorporate this, because we're talking about functional medicine, like with our anti-aging doctors and our functional medicine doctors, nutritional science, regenerative and recuperative sciences. All of these physicians who are approaching us and inviting us into their offices are looking for, because they do understand functional changes, they know what to look for, they know what to prescribe, how to work to create that breast health program with each and every one of us. So that is the primary difference between the radiologist and somebody who reads a thermogram, but it takes that type of educational process to have the expertise to read them. And so the procedure, again, is simple, but the diagnostic and the analytical approach to the thermograms is very comprehensive, as you said.
So how do I obtain this? I mean, I know that there needs to be a setting for it, and we need to be someplace where, you know, you can set your equipment up and we have privacy. So who would invite you to come and do this, because this is mobile?
This is mobile, and currently we have three offices that we are working with. We have one in West Bloomfield and on Maple Road. We'll be in Plymouth at Body Works this month on Sunday, February 24th, doing scans there. We will be in Jackson at Essential Energies on Friday, March 1st, doing scans there and a lecture on the Thursday evening prior to that. And we're currently arranging to be in a lot of different places, in Lansing, Livonia, Port Huron, Ohio, Northern Ohio, Milford, and we're also be doing our Bosom Buddy parties that will be in anywhere in Michigan, because we are a mobile unit. We can go anywhere in Michigan and Ohio, and our site's expanding other places as well.
And now, what is the Bosom Buddy party? That sounds, you've got my interest right now. Tell me.
We have a lot of Bosom Buddy parties. What that is, it's very similar to just having a party at home, inviting friends, family, and there are various formats that can be done. We, of course, educate everyone about the process and the procedure, make them comfortable when they arrive, and then the host gets a free scan. And while that's happening, some of the hosts ask to have something else there. It could be something like a chakra photo.
Or nutritional education on breast health, or massage therapy for breast health.
So the most popular that we tend to have are where we have somebody in that local community come in and speak about all the breast health options, such as being able to do our own lymph, nipple, and breast massage, what clothes, how do bras interfere with the flow of our lymph system, what happens when we reduce stress, what supplementation, the dietary requirements for living health and being vital. So we very often, the host will ask us to incorporate this with their own special interests, and it's very easy to do.
Go back to your question about how to get a thermoscan. You do not. You only require a doctor that we can send a report to. You do not need a prescription to actually have it done. So you don't need a doctor's order to have it done, but we do require a physician that Dr. Hoster can send a report to. It has to be an MD or a DO.
And that allows for any follow-up necessary. But again, self-referral in order to have the thermogram done.
Okay, that makes sense. And I know that this may sound like a really silly question, but I know there are a lot of people out there that don't have a primary care physician for whatever reason and purpose, whether they don't have insurance or they're just not into doctors. I mean, there's just all kinds of people, but they might be very well interested in this. So here's the zinger. What if they made arrangements with a doctor to have the scan information sent, but that wasn't necessarily somebody that at the time they were utilizing their services. Because obviously if the scan raised a red flag, guess what? That would then become your doctor.
You know, everyone has a choice. It's their body, and they all have a choice. And so anyone that has a question such as that, just call us. We can speak to them. We can refer to one of the doctors who already know how to read a functional test, understand the importance of the functional test, and can work with them with their own belief system.
Got it. Okay, so the people who are listening and paying attention should not let that deter them from, you know, from looking into this further simply because they might not have an actual, you know, primary care physician or family doctor. I think that's huge because
Absolutely.
There's so many different ways of looking at life right now through the lens of health or lack thereof that I think this is still honoring the choices of those who are making choices to go in different directions for whatever reason and purpose.
Yes, and many of the offices that we work with, there are women specializing in nutritional support, a detoxification, immune system building. There's exercise physiologists, colon hydrotherapy. We're already working with so many women that have specialties and their own interests. And when a woman calls us and they're interested in a certain area themselves, we can refer to these individuals who are also working with physicians. So there's many, many options for women to be able to avail themselves of this valuable early detection. Again, the first choice in breast screening and breast health awareness is a doctor.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Now, I didn't solicit these as we started out because I wasn't really sure what we were looking at time-wise, and I'm not really sure what exactly the caller is going to say, but we do have somebody that wants to talk to you. Would you ladies be open to accepting this call, and let's find out, maybe we're going to help somebody here.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Well, then we're going to do this. It's area code 917, and the last four digits of your number are 6510. Welcome to In Touch on Breast Thermography. You have Fran and Linda. Who are we speaking with, and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Sandy, and I'm in New York City.
Hi, Sandy in New York City. How can we help you today?
I was just curious. I'm very EMF conscious, and one of the reasons why I won't have a mammogram is because the electromagnetic frequencies of the mammogram is extremely high. How does this compare to mammograms in terms of EMFs?
Sandy, we're going to put you back on hold so the ladies can answer this because we are running out of time, but we do thank you for calling. We're going to give you a follow-up number. You can contact them again afterwards. So thank you, Sandy, and ladies, go ahead with that, please.
It's very simple. It's a great question. If you stand in front of a digital camera and have somebody take your picture when you're on vacation, that's what we do. We take a picture. It registers the heat. There's absolutely no EMF radiation coming to the breast tissue or to your body. Very safe.
Awesome. In direct comparison to other modalities of detection or diagnosis that do have those energies, you know, specifically people being very concerned about x-rays, which a mammogram is an x-ray.
Well, and a lot of people have developed environmental illnesses and sensitivities to EMFs, and it is important, and those people actually can't even walk into a hospital or a physician's office because of the radiation levels.
Yes.
So, bosom buddy parties would be perfect for them.
Very, very, very true. So, Sandy and everybody else, I'm sorry?
I'm sure Sandy can find people locally in her area who also could, and she can avail herself of this service.
Exactly. We're going to direct her and anybody else who is not in the Michigan, Ohio area to thermoscan.com, where I'm sure they will be able to help direct them. Also, go to adelphatherm.com. And if you are looking to get more information directly, book a party, 248-242-4354 to find out more about where Fran and Linda and Adelpha Therm are going to be. Ladies, thank you so much for helping us today. Great information, and looking forward to meeting you one day in person and having my picture taken. I think that would be a lot of fun.
That would be great. Thanks, Lynette. We really appreciate your time and having us on your show.
And we appreciate everything you're doing to bring all this information out to everyone so that they can heal.
Well, that's our pleasure here at Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. Thank you.